Thank you for choosing to listen to this message from our pastor, Brother Rob Coons. Let us enter now with the saints of God into a service already in progress.
Gracious Father, as we come to the throne of grace, we thank you, Lord God, for a people, Father, that have a love for the truth, a love for the word, love to be obedient. Father, we know that we're all susceptible to give place to spirits, Lord God, that could come in, take our thoughts, our mind, our will, our desires, Lord God, if we're not careful. Father, we ask you to speak to us, to help us, direct us, and lead us, Lord God. Father, let us be a tool for thy kingdom, Lord God. And let us be a steward, Almighty God, over our time, over our substance, over our lives. Father, I know many of us could stand before you, Lord God, with nothing more than a confession of failure, Lord God, of our lives, our time, our substance, our endeavors, our efforts, the things that we'd have to show even in the kingdom. And Father, if you brought us in by grace, it would be with all of our rewards burned up because of a lack of understanding on our part. We thank you for your mercy. But Lord God, help us, Lord, that we could take whatever amount of time that we have left in this short span of time called man. Father, let us take and utilize this time, Father, to bring glory unto you, not to us as a man. Let us get out of the struggle, Lord, of looking for preeminence and prestige and honor. And Father, let us do what would bring honor to your name and your kingdom, Lord God. Father, teach us to decrease that you could increase in our lives. Help us, direct us, and lead us and guide us. In Jesus' name, amen. You can all be seated. I've been in ownership in the career industry. I've been in partnerships. I've been owners of businesses. I've been in management positions. I've been hired. I've been the employee. I've seen and looked it over pretty well, made some great accomplishments. And all it is when it's all said and done is vanity and vexation of the spirit. The things that I achieved as a man, that other men were looking for and desiring, I achieved those things, and when I stopped and looked at it in the mind of God, I found that it was all the enemy of God. I've shared many testimonies with you over the years of times that something that would look like it was absolutely of God. I mean, the floodgates opened up, and man, the doors opened up, and opportunities of financial gain. And I was at places that I was seeking the Lord and following after the Lord, and was really right at the threshold of the blessings of God in my life. I mean, God was going to absolutely unveil and open things up to me in such an awesome way. And then the devil came with such of these, the most perfect looking opportunities, that they looked so supernatural. That had to be the mind of God. It had to be the blessings of God. Had to be the provisions of God. Had to be. There's just no way that anything else could have made all these things come into place to just put them right into your bosom. And then you pray, and God says, no, stay away from it. Satan could put some things and put them together so clearly. And they look so precise that if you're not very careful and very cautious, it'll be the worst thing that ever happened to you. I remember hearing a story, if I was going to speak to men dealing with lust, of a guy that was traveling, and he was off out of state and out of town, and he thought, man, if he was going to get off into a fair relationship, that this would be, you know, the time to do it. Beautiful woman, he meets her in a restaurant or whatever, decides to go off into immorality with her. The next morning, he gets up and he finds where she took lipstick and wrote across the mirror, "Welcome to the world of AIDS." It ruined the man's life. It ruined his marriage. All for one night stand. Looked so good. Looked so right in his mind. But Satan was laying there in the beauty of a woman with the form figure, a little swing when she walks. Had everything in probably the right spots. Pushed up where you wanted it up and out where you wanted it out and in where you wanted it in. Understand what I'm saying? Everything looked just right. Amen. Perfect little gal. But eat up. You know, eat up. If a man would have known that, probably never would have done that. But see, if a man dealing with that kind of problem would look at every woman in that kind of perspective, maybe he could curb his lust, curb his desires. Fat boy like me, if I would look at every cheesecake with strychnine in it, I would probably say, I'll pass. I'll pass. I'm not interested in that stuff. You know, maybe that's what I need to do, huh? Amen. As the Bible says, again, you better put a knife to your throat as give place to a gluttony devil. You skinny guys smile and us fat people weep, huh? But praise God, there's a God, there's a will, there's a performance, there's a strength, there's an anointing. You know, and it's funny how the skinny guy looks at the fat guy, and the fat guy looks at the skinny guy, and the skinny guy says, man, you ought to be ashamed of yourself, and then maybe the other boy's got something five times worse, amen. Come on now. We're all there. We have a way of measuring out, not looking in the mirror, and we got to find that God have mercy on each and every single one of us to follow after the will, the mind, and the leading of God, amen. Now, brethren, when we think of a spirit world, and we think of the things that are motivating the spirit world. Some of you, I sometimes will look back at a message of many years ago. And I remember speaking a message right before a camp meeting one time called, "What is the motivating factor? What motivates you to do what you want to do?" Bible said, some come in, spy out your liberties, spots and blemishes in the feast of charity. You know, and what is their motivating factor? Sometimes people will come in with the right hand of fellowship and we're going to do this and we're going to do that and we're going to be a great help. But there's another motivating factor that lays in there through the foreordination of God and predestination that was before the foundation of the world that laid there. And if we can tap into discernment and prayer, the little gal that just has to have this man, I'm in love. I've got to have him. He's the one. He's the soulmate, praise God. I know God sent him. But if she can go in the foreknowledge of God and time and see down the trail, she would think, I wish I would have been more sensitive to the Spirit. I know couples that said, I should have listened to the preacher. I should have listened to my mom. Should have listened to my dad. Should have listened to that pastor. Because you just don't know. The thing is obedience is better than sacrifice according to the scriptures and the word. Obedience better than sacrifice. So oftentimes we quote those kind of things, we speak those things, but then yet we find sacrifice in our life. I could speak those things out of experience, amen. How many here, if we was going to be honest, raise your hand, have been in sacrifice before because of a lack of being humble and obedient to God? How many times has we saw something that we desired that worked for us in our own will, and we just thought, okay, the grace of God is with us, and we desired that and went on with it? We're all guilty, brethren. You know, we could sit and try to feel that we're not, but we're all guilty, brethren. We've all failed. You know, the Bible said, you know, that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That's what we are as men. We're sinners, born and shapen in iniquity. Now when I speak as a blood-bought, born-again child of God, I'm no longer a sinner. That man's dead, been crucified and died with Christ at Calvary. We put him away, and I'm a new creature in Christ. So again, we find ourselves differentiating between these two minds in our head. I guess it was a week ago, Sunday, I ministered a message about you created your own dream. I've gave you scriptures for it. Y'all remember the message. And the dream that you dreamed, you caused yourself to dream the dream from a multitude of business in your own head. You caused yourself to dream that dream. Let's, guys, put your phones away. You can say you're looking at the Bible. I'll put the Bible up here. I want you to pay attention. This is the house of God. You cause yourself to dream a dream by thinking. And then you have the dream and then you feel like you got vindication from God. Sometimes people with finances and monies, they feel vindicated, brethren, because of they got prosperity and finance. There's uncertain sounds the Bible teaches about, that people have an uncertain sound and they feel that God has blessed them. I had a man that would consider himself a wealthy man. He's standing in line for multiplied millions of dollars. Y'all know the brother very well. He sat right here in this church. His father's worth multiplied millions of dollars. He's standing in line for that. What I understand, his father told him as a young boy, said, for every penny you make, I'll match it. So if you go out and make $10,000, I'll give you $10,000. That kind of nice little tip in life, ain't it? You know, think, hey man, I got me a job making $30,000 a year, and I'm automatic making $60,000. I think that's pretty sweet. I think a dad with a lot of finances, instead of just handing things to his son, saying, hey, this gives you a little incentive. You know, I find no fault with that. But because of the uncertain sounds of prosperity, he felt many times that because the blessings of God, and he gave honor to that, so he felt justified in God through wealth. Some feel justified through scripture retention. Some feel justified through knowledge of the scriptures and the word. There's only one thing that justifies any man, and that's the Spirit of God. It's the Spirit of God. Not the knowledge of God, but the Spirit of God. It's the Spirit of the Word. The same Word that dwelled within Christ Jesus, the only thing that will bring justification to us. So we try to earn this justification through works, through actions, through many things. And we have to have works. If you don't have works, you have no faith. With no faith, the Bible says it's imputed to you as sin. You realize that? If you don't have faith, it's imputed to you as sin. So we must have faith. Faith comes by hearing of the word. But then yet there's people that sit in churches day in and day out, very faithful into churches that don't have faith. And you say, well, they're hearing the word. It makes the word of God lie. No, it doesn't. The Bible said, though they have ears, they do not hear. So you hear the vibration coming forth out of the preacher's mouth, but it's not the hearing that we're speaking about. You see with the eyes, but it's not the scene that God would have us to see. The problem with most people in humanity or mankind, they'll hear this same thing that I just said, and I'm very repetitive. I've said it again, and I'll say it again, and say it again, and they'll hear, it's never me. You're always talking to the other guy. It's never me. Now see, when we think it's me, then we feel like we don't have faith. I'm not going to say this is me, Brother Rob, that doesn't see, because if I say it isn't me, then I don't have faith to believe that I do see, and I have faith to speak the things that are not as if they were, so I can't receive such a thing. Now there's a fine line right there in that. I could say I'm in agreement with you, but then I'm in disagreement with you. Now, let me define that. You see, the Word of God is simple. The apostle spoke. He said, I didn't come with any superior wisdom or eloquence of speech, but I came with just the knowledge of Jesus Christ and Him crucified. You know, the devil quotes that with the intention of deception so oftentimes. I've sat with preachers and try to get them into some doctrine, try to get them into some revelation, try to get them some understanding, get them away from their errors, get them away from the lasciviousness, get them away from the being tossed to and fro by everyone. And that's where they go. They pull that scripture out to you. Well, I just want to know about Jesus and Him crucified. That's a man on the way to hell. If that's your statement, all I care about is Jesus and Him crucified, I don't care to know anything but more than that, you're on your way to hell. Thus saith the Lord. Are you listening to me? Come on, brothers. That's exactly where a man's on his way. Because the Bible said a man that's got the Holy Ghost has got a hunger for the truth. He's got a hunger and a thirst for righteousness. And if a man doesn't have that, he doesn't have the Holy Ghost. And let me tell you something. A man without the Holy Ghost, the Bible said, without God's Spirit, you're none of His. So we got to examine and check if we're not desiring the things of God. We go to church just out of some kind of an obligation. We're in trouble. We need a sincere checkup. We need to be drawn and hungering for the Word. The Word should be in our thoughts day and night. We should be meditating in the laws of God and the things of God and the Word of God. And it should be continually in our spirits. If the only time God's on your mind is when you come to the house of God, you're coming to the house of God to get judgment on you. That's it. You say, well, I'm going to quit coming to church then. And I say, well, you may as well. But you better come and repent of heart and say, God, help me. And you're going to have to make examinations and changes and start pressing. You're going to have to start getting that Bible off the shelf. And you're going to have to start looking at it and considering it and talking to the Lord. I'm telling you, it's a frightening time, brethren. Let's read a couple scriptures in Galatians here. Galatians 5. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. And be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you, that if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. But wouldn't that be a hard statement to hear a Jew say to you? Back when you knew that this was part of your law to be circumcised. And he says, if you've been circumcised, it profits you nothing. See, we actually say the same thing to the people today. People say, well, you know, I got baptized in Jesus' name. Say, it profits you nothing without faith and believing. You say, you can't put those two together. I surely can. Because I know people that's been down to the water hole and been baptized properly in the right name, in the name of Jesus. Amen. The name Jesus is an awesome thing. And it's a door and a threshold to bring the remission of sin. But let me tell you something. There better be a heart that believeth in there with that. Amen. A heart that believeth. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Christ is become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, you are fallen from grace. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. You did run well. Who did hinder you? That you should not obey the truth. This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. I have confidence in you through the Lord that you will be none otherwise minded, but he that troubleth you shall bear his judgment, whosoever he be. And I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? Then is the offense of the cross ceased? I would that they were cut off, which trouble you. For brethren, I have been called unto liberty. Only not the liberty for the occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. How many times have people been around these Pentecostal people and you hear this message about liberty? Come on now, some of you ain't been out there in the circles. But you know, they talk about the liberty. Boy, we got liberty, praise God. To the flesh? Do we have liberty in the flesh, brother? Do we have liberty? Do we think that the blood of Jesus was shed that we could frolic in the flesh? Do you think the blood of Jesus was shed that we could continue on in lustful desires of humanity and mankind? Do you think that the blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ was shed that we could walk in the weakness and the beggarly elements of this world? Come on, brethren. How come so many people walk in those kind of things? And then they just feel like they're in the grace of God. They feel like they're under the mercies of God. They feel like they're under the blood atonement. Some of you know the story, but I was walking into a restaurant on the north side of town. My son-in-law was with me, Brother Pete. And I said, you know, Brother Pete, I said, the problem with the church and organized religion is they think that the blood of Jesus atones for all sin. Now, I could tell you a scripture says exactly what I just quoted. It says that the blood of Jesus does atone for all sin. And this man was walking in front of me. Boy, I'll tell you what, y'all remember, right? Three-piece suit. He was polished, son. Ooh, sunshine. If there was a Baptist of Baptists, this was the Baptist. I mean, he had his three-piece suit on. Man, everything was fitting nice. He was looking sharp, sunshine. And he had a proud walk, boy. And he turned around and stuck his finger in my face. He said, sir, the blood of Jesus atones for all sin. And I said, sir, you need to hear the end of the matter. And boy, and he turned around. Man, he was strutting, son. He just rebuked him some old. He didn't know what I was, knew nothing about me. He rebuked me and he just walked off, boy, and he was so sure. He had Bible to confirm what he said. But the Bible that I read says line upon line, precept upon precept, rightly dividing the Word of God. Now, I could take you in the Scriptures tonight and I could read you some Scriptures over here and I could read you some Scriptures over here, and it sounds like they're just clashing heads and controversial and contrary. Do you realize that the Bible teaches that the ways of God are contrary to the ways of man? And I can read to you in the Scriptures where it was written to the mind of God's elect Jew. And I can take into other Scriptures where it's reading to God's elect, the Spirit Jew. And there are two different dispensations, brother. I have people that have troubles with Brother Rob. He said, oh, he's always talking about differentiation. Brother Andy was with me. Had two preachers in my face up here in Greensboro. And boy, they thought they had me. And I went to the Scriptures with them and I put them in a couple places. They got kind of like, man, I don't have an answer. And one of them, boy, all of a sudden he perked up. I mean, he jumped up to his feet and he goes, oh, like I got you now. And he said, the Word of God said that God could make the impossible things possible. I'm thinking, oh gosh, he was really fishing in. That's the Word. But it's like, this is the best you can do with this, brother. Yeah. Is that the best word that you're going to come back with me at? It is impossible for God to lie. Okay? And he ain't never going to lie to make your word fit what you think is right. But this man had a real problem with differentiation of dimensions. He let us know that. He said, I don't like it. He said, I don't like you using this word differentiation. It's not a biblical word. And I said, well, I don't like when you use the word Trinity. It's not a biblical word. I don't like when you say word millennium. It's not a biblical word. I don't like when you say the word rapture. It's not a biblical word. But see, they use all these things. I use it to bring a thought to you. To bring things and to pull it apart and analyze it and see it. The only way that you'll understand heaven is by understanding the first, second, and third. And there's things that are relative to the first heaven that will never see the third heaven. Impossible. And there's things that are taking place in the second heaven that's impossible to take place in the third heaven. In the third heaven, you can't mix light and darkness. Do you realize that? And people stand and say, I know my Bible. You can't mix the white light and darkness. I say, sure you can. And when the sun set tonight, it didn't just go from full bright to dark, did it? So the Scriptures, are they wrong? There is no darkness in the third heaven. Zero. You can't mix light and darkness there because there's no darkness there. Darkness can't get in there. But the second heaven, there's a twilight realm. The second heaven has to do with twilight. It has to do where you mix in light and darkness. It has to do with your black, dark flesh climbing up into the upper lintels. And it has to do with this inner quickening of light being there together. And the Bible says light being formed within the darkness. There's your light and darkness mixed up. But this light has got to come forth and eradicate the darkness of your carnal mind. It's got to eradicate the darkness of your wishes and your desires. It's got to eradicate that darkness. That's what has to take place. It has to take place. And if you don't conquer these things of darkness in the second heaven, then you'll be consumed by those things, and your father will be the devil. But when you war and fight against those things, if you remember many years ago, I ministered a message called the Soul Realm Religion. And most people have only made it into the Soul Realm Religion. And you know what? They think they've made it into the third heaven. They think they've made it beyond the veil, but they've never made it. But what happened in the soul realm, brethren, there's light there, and they partake of the light. And there's darkness there, and they partake of the darkness. Do you understand that? They partake of the darkness, and they like the second heaven because they got the miracles of God. They got the reign of God. They got the provisions of God. They got the mercy of God. They got the gifts of God. And they also got their flesh and the desires of their flesh and the pride of life. They got all those things to sing them, and they just love it. But they come to church and they wave their hands and they glorify God and magnify the Lord. They speak in tongues and they dance and they shout and say, glory, hallelujah, I'm God's man. I'm God's people. I'm God's elect. And they've never made it through the door. They never made it. They never entered through the door. They came through the door that was open into that second heaven, but they never made it through the second heaven. The second heaven has to do with the cross. The second heaven is where the Son of Man came to, and He bridged the gap from man to God. He bridged the gap in the second heaven. Jesus Christ came, made Himself twain. He came in the darkness of a man. Do you realize that? The Bible said He came in the image of the sin nature. In the image of sin. The image of sin nature, that's man. That's what God came and robed Himself in. That was in the second heaven. And He bridged the gap between mankind and God and made this way. That's why He said, I'm the way, the truth, the life. There is no other way to enter but by Him. He's that door, and that's in that second heaven. Having to do with the saving of your soul. Do you realize there's not going to be one man stand and go to hell for the sin of his flesh, for his whoremongering, for his drunkenness, for all those things? He will not go to hell for that. Listen to me, I can show you that in the scriptures. Jesus died for the sin of the flesh, every bit of it. No man's going to go to hell for whoremonging around, for smoking, for drinking, for snorting. He'll go to hell because his soul ain't got right. The Bible said it's the saving of the soul, brethren. The flesh isn't going to stand. He took the sin of the flesh. But now there's a second heaven, and there's a travail and a fight there. And this is where your works come in. Why people don't like this part. It was His works that made a way. It was His works that saved your soul. But if you don't believe that, then your faith has no works. And if you don't believe that, your faith without works is dead and you have no salvation. So there's going to be a marriage that takes place. And this marriage is going to take place, and you're going to find that you have submitted your will unto our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and you become in His mind and become one with Him, walking in all authority and power over the flesh. Amen. And if you don't conquer over the flesh, then you have not the power of the Holy Ghost. Because He said, go ye and you tarry there until you're endued with power. Power to what? Talk in tongues and dance at church? What is the power that He gave us? The power to endure to the end. The power over every principality and every power. The power over sin. The power over flesh. This is what He gave us. And we're going to have to believe that. Oh, I could get up here and preach a message about it, but I better believe it. It's like the preacher said, it's easier to preach 10 messages than it is to live one. Oh, we can say things. Brother Stan's brother. Boy, he studied this message. He listened to it over and over and over and over and over and over again. Man, they asked him to preach in this little church, man, and he performed. He preached that message. The church was awestruck. Whoa. I didn't know this brother had that kind of understanding. Whoa. Man, the people flood into altars, no anointing. They ask him questions, no answers. He was just a parrot. They thought that he had something. They thought by the things that was coming forth out of his mouth that there was some kind of a revelation or some kind of an understanding there. And he found that he was flat and dead and dry. You see, it takes the virtue of God to bring healing. It takes the virtue of God to break the yoke. You can't manufacture that, brethren, in some kind of a mimicking way. It comes through prayer, supplication, fasting, giving yourself unto the Lord and unto God. Verse 13 again says, for brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, that thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Well, if you've done that, you've done well. I haven't seen that. I tell you, I have troubles finding somebody that loves their neighbor as much as they love themselves. You cater to yourself, you desire yourself, you love yourself, you paint yourself, you pamper yourself, you feed yourself, you drive yourself, you vacation yourself, you do all that, and you don't even think of your neighbor. As far as you could care, I could care less if my neighbor goes to hell. I can care less. I don't like him anyway. Oh boy, that's a frightening thought. Love thy neighbor as thyself. Come on, brethren, you know the only thing I could say, only thing that you should say is, God have mercy, oh me. That's all we could say is, oh me. Oh me. Sometimes the preacher asks you to inconvenience yourself a little bit. And it's like, I don't know if I got time. Come on now, brethren. You know, I'm talking to some wonderful people here, but we're still in the same travail, the same fight, the same warfare. We got the same old man that wants the preeminence, wants to be all about him. Come on now, every one of you, every one of us, or the Bible's a lie. Amen? Oh me? Amen, and oh me. God have mercy. But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another. Have mercy, Jesus. Then I say then, walk in the Spirit and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So when we're fulfilling the lust of the flesh, well, definitely we're not in the Spirit. Is that right? Oh, I don't know about that, Brother Rom. I do know. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit against the flesh, for these are contrary the one to the other. So that you cannot do the things that you would. You cannot. You cannot. But if you be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresy, envy, murders, drunkenness, reveling, and such like. Of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in times past, that they which do such things shall not. Oh, but it's under the blood. It's pure to me, because all things are pure. That they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. That's pretty easy and cut and dry, right? Amen. Y'all agree with that? It's the word. That's the word. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. For they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and the lust. And they that are Christ. Do we have anybody that's in Christ in here? It's the only chance we got, brother. If we're predestined in Christ, that's the only chance we got, brother, and that's it. If we're not predestined in Christ, we got no hope. None whatsoever at all. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. I teach a doctrine in this church. It's the doctrine of Jesus Christ, the doctrine of the Word. It said, beloved, now you are the sons of God. Beloved, now you are the sons of God. And the Bible said the sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. It didn't say that they're led by the flesh, did it? The sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. But the sons of the devil are led by the flesh. You were born in that image, that fallen image of iniquity, shaping in iniquity. And you're going to have to get a hold of Christ and trust Him. Don't trust your mind. Don't trust your thoughts. Don't trust your actions. Trust in Him alone. For if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vain glory, provoking one another or envying one another. Now we're over in Romans 6, first chapter. Or Romans chapter 6, verse 1. Y'all got a minute tonight? Y'all want to go home now? No, sir. Anybody else got a no, sir? Sad thing is, some already left. They could be sitting there looking you in the eye and they ain't with you. Not whatsoever at all. But let's go ahead. Let's read it a little bit more. It's okay to read a little word to you tonight, isn't it? If I didn't speak at all and just read the word to you, we could say that, you know, we came to the house of the Lord tonight. Amen. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may be abound? What can I say then? Shall we continue in lasciviousness and to the liberties that we have? Under the grace of God to continue to walk in the flesh? Should we continue to walk in the flesh and desire fleshly things because we're in this dispensation of time? Dispensation is a perspective of time. Do you realize that the grace that you're walking in today, church, is not going to always be in this world? It's getting ready to remove itself. There's things all pointing. Brother Fontaine going off the scene on Christmas Eve has to do with the changeover, things going back. And you say, well, I've heard this for a few years here, Brother Rob. Yeah, and you'll keep on hearing as long as the Lord tarries. We're right at the threshold. See, in your little fleshly, carnal mind that thinks 80 years is a long time, and you got to remember that a day to the Lord is like 1,000 years, and to Him it's just right there at the threshold. It's ready to go. And you might not see it. You might live another 10 years. Maybe the Lord might tarry another 10. He might tarry another 20. You say, I don't know, I don't see it. Well, I didn't think I'd be having grandchildren, that's for sure. Now they're getting married. You say, what do you think, Brother Rom? I think we better live today like it's going to happen tomorrow. Let me tell you that. Because it can happen to you tonight. You say, I don't believe the Lord's coming. He might come for you tonight. You might find yourself standing before Him tonight. You understand that? If not, you'll find yourself in hell, and then you will be resurrected with death. And hell, and you'll stand before the Lord. Death and hell is going to be resurrected. Hell's not eternal. It's going to come forth, and it's going to be cast into the lake of fire, and that's eternal. And death's going to be cast into that lake of fire. They're both going to be cast into there. We got to learn to differentiate these things and understand these dimensions. There's some people that are in hell tonight. I'm not talking about ones that took their last breath and went on, and you say they're in hell. I'm talking about there's people walking today in this earth. They're in hell. They're in hell. They're already dead. They're twice dead. They're in torment. They can't rest. Their mind is continually just rambling and things, and there's no peace in them. And they're just all the time. And you got to be careful when you get around those people, because those are spirits and they want to drag you in with them. You understand that? There's some people that love drama. They're going to drag you into drama with them. I watch mothers and fathers that their children go rebellious, and their parents get dragged right in with their children. You know, and someday mama's going to have to say, and daddy's going to have to say, look, man, you know better than that, but if that's what you want to do, so be it. Get with it. Have a good time. Have a good time. Yeah, but, you know, dad, I'm broke, man, and I'm hungry, you know, this and that. Well, you had enough money to get your dope. Stay hungry, son, and then maybe when you get hungry enough, you'll buy food instead of dope, huh? Come on now. That's just not showing the love of God. That is the love of God. The love of God ain't feeding no devil, that's for sure. The love of God ain't going to be buying no dope for no devil. My brother was a junkie and had my mother drive him to the dope house to get some heroin. She felt so bad to see him going through the withdrawals and sick and doubled over. I've been with him, held his hand through those kind of things and watched him kicking off heroin before myself. She felt compassion, mercy, thought the thing to do would go get him a fix. I've seen many parents make a lot of bad mistakes. Romans 6, verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death? Therefore were buried with Him by baptism into death. That like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. And we have people teaching that baptism isn't necessary. Let me tell you something. A man really makes a conversion and really doesn't repent of, just like the ones in Acts that are at the Cornelius' home. They'd never been baptized in Jesus' name. But then yet the Holy Ghost was poured out upon them. They heard Him prophesying, speaking in tongues and different things. And they saw and said, hey, and this is what He went on to say. He said, we could see that God gave His Spirit to these unclean. Remember, Peter said, I'm not putting anything in my mouth that's unclean. He said, don't you call unclean what I've cleansed. He was talking about those Gentiles that were coming in right then, brethren. Well, just like He brought them in, He's going to be putting an end to it. This Gentile age is coming to a real fast close, brethren. I'm telling you, if you don't make the transition from a Gentile into a son of God, you're going to find yourself going through this tribulation period. There's going to be Americans that are alive when this transfiguration takes place and this change. Oh yeah, they were churchgoers. Oh yes, they paid tithes in the church. Oh yes, they were doing this. And let me tell you something, they're not going to make this change. They will go through the tribulation and they'll pay with their own blood. They're going to be right there with the Jews. You know why? Because they think like the Jews. They're religious. Oh, I know God, bless God. Don't you tell me nothing, preacher. I'm just as good as you. If you're as good as me, you're on your way to hell. Because there ain't none good. I ain't coming in on my merits and my righteousness. I'm not going in on my strength and my knowledge. I'm not going in on my doctrine. I have no doctrine. I have no ministry. It's the ministry of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I'm just a helper of your faith. That's what we got to learn to do, is walk in the Spirit of the living God. Amen. Let's give him a hand if we're going to give him a hand. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. As I started to say there, these ones that were at the Cornelius house that were filled with the Holy Ghost, you know, they were already filled with the Holy Ghost. But then yet it said, would any forbid these water? And they went and were baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. So it shows the importance of baptism, but it shows that a man, yes, can receive the gift of life, but he's still going to fulfill all righteousness and go what the Word says, and he's going to go and carry on through with baptism. And when you've run into one of these spiritual reprobates out there that's going to sit and tell you, say, oh man, I got filled with the Holy Ghost, I don't need to be baptized in Jesus' name. That's what they are, a spiritual reprobate. I'm telling you this. When they come to righteousness and understand, they fulfill it. And they're going to be obedient to the Word. And you say, well, can you give me some other Bible for that? I sure can. My Bible said that Jesus Christ was crucified before the world ever was, but he came and walked among men and he fulfilled it by taking that man to the cross of Calvary and have him crucified for the world to see. Amen. And when I come to fulfill the righteousness of Christ, I'm going to come into this earth and I'm going to go before mankind. I'm going to say, baptize me and bury me in the name of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, for the remission of my sin, that I could come forth as a new creature. Amen. To fulfill the works of God. Amen. I just don't like religious people. I'm sorry. For we have been planted together in the likeness of his death. Verse 5. We shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Now, by faith, I believe this. And by faith, I don't serve sin. How does sin approach itself to you? How does it come to your dwelling place? How does it come to your home? How does it come to your business? It comes through your mind. Do you realize that? That's why the Bible said that the carnal mind is death. The carnal mind. It wasn't talking about the fruit of the mind. It said that the carnal mind was death. Because if you're in that mind's going to bring forth fruit of its own kind. And if you're thinking in the world and loving the world and desiring the world and walking in the world and walking in the flesh, then you are of your father, the devil. According to the scriptures and the word. The Bible said, whoever you yield your members to is who you are of. What is that saying, Brother Rom? If I marry my wife and she yields herself to me, she's my wife. If she yields herself to my neighbor, she's a whore. But if she's my wife, she yields herself to me. And you say that he's coming for his bride without spot, wrinkle, or blemish. Well, how do I prove, Brother Rob, or how would I know that I'm the bride? How would I know that I'm married unto him? You see, if you're not married unto him, then you're going to stand in the judgment as a sinner. But you see, when you're married unto him, that old is passed away. Do you realize that? And it's through marriage. Well, how would I know that I'm married unto him? How do you know my wife's married unto me? Because she's mine. You understand that? When she starts getting self-willed, doing her own thing, superseding or overriding the will and the desires of her husband, then she's not with me. She's not mine. Well, so you're the man and you're going to lord over her with some kind of an ungodly heritage? Absolutely not. I'm going to lay my life down for her and lead her and direct her and to the best of my ability by love. Thank God for the mercy and grace for my failures. But this is what we do. But there's still an order of God. You see, if I took and went into some revelation with you tonight, I could take you to a place. I even have a reservation of speaking it because it brings sudden judgment to people. And I got to be very careful. Sometimes, you know, the Bible said that if any are wise among us, they sometimes have to conceal the matter. The Bible talks about the sword. You know, we can't hold it back from blood. I can go into some things of the ministry tonight and what God has given and granted under the ministry. People say, ah, you're just a man. I say, a man was crucified with Christ. Well, you're no different than, no better than anybody else. You're absolutely right. I was the lowest of all. Esteemed to be the least of all, and took to the cross of Calvary, and that man was buried and died with Jesus Christ at Calvary. But in the resurrection, there's an order in God. In the resurrection, we're children of the resurrection. And we show ourselves faithful over little things. He makes us leader over greater things and over nations and worlds. Scripture and word. You know, one of the most dangerous things you could do is sit in this church and reason. And I have it happen to every service. And they said, well, that's just Brother Rob. Oh, that's just what he thinks. That's the way he thinks. That's the way he sees it. But praise God, I got this grace. And I love the Lord. He knows I love him. I can take you into scriptures and show you people that laid their lives down and made sacrifices that you've never even thought about that didn't make it in. What about Eli? All the great exploits that he done as a prophet of God, and he allowed his children to go into disobedience and take advantage right there of the people of God, and he falls over and breaks his neck. You say, oh boy, Brother Rob, don't be overconfident is what I'm trying to say here tonight. You know, you say, well, I know it's all under the blood. As I told the man, I said, do you know the end of the matter? I'm in the Word of God. This ain't Brother Rob Coon's doctrine. I don't have doctrine. I'm in the doctrine of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the doctrine that I'm in. Hebrews chapter 6, let's go to verse 1. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ. That sounds kind of bad, doesn't it? What are we going to leave that, man? We got to stay with the principles of the doctrine of Christ. What is the principles of the doctrine? The blood shed of Jesus Christ. I could turn you over to 1 John 5th chapter. It talks about the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And it said that these three are one. And it talks about the water, blood, and the Spirit. And it said these three agree in one. Okay? So we have the Father, Word, and the Holy Ghost that are one. We have the water, blood, and Spirit that agree in one. Or that are in agreement. Okay? Now, when we go to the first, second, and third heaven, and I could turn you over and read the scriptures to you, not knowing whether I was in body or in spirit, but knowing that I was caught away to the third heaven. If there's a third of something, it has to be a first, second. Now, you're not going to find Bible that says, you know, first heaven, second heaven, but you'll find Bible that says third heaven. And if there's third, there's a second and a first. And we understand that the second and first, we understand where they're at by the mind of Christ, the revelation of the Lord. So we're not deviating from the scriptures or the Word of God whatsoever at all. But therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and faith toward God. I have some sitting in my presence tonight that have trampled that particular scripture all over, thinking that they're in the liberties to continue in the worldly ways, continue after the things of the world, and they think that it's under the blood of Jesus. But he said, let us go on. Let's go on to perfection. Come on, brethren. The fivefold ministry, that's my calling. I was sent here to bring you into perfection. Well, I was perfected by the works of Christ at Calvary, and then show me. Amen. Amen. If I can't see that, then there's no fruit met under repentance. Not laying again the foundation prints from dead works and a faith toward God. Of the doctrines of baptisms. Doctrines of baptisms. Does anybody see an S on that? Now, the Bible says this. It says that there's one God. Now, listen to me. One faith and one baptism. One baptism without the S on it. And now I come over here and I have S on it. Oh, that's a violation of the scriptures and the Word of God. I got one God, but I say Father, Word, and Holy Ghost. And it says these three are one. So the scripture is right, there's one God. But then the doctrine is right that says one baptism, water, blood, and spirit. You say, well, the Bible also talks about a baptism of fire. And I say, yea and amen, that's the spirit. Baptism. Baptism of blood runs in more than one dimension. There's some trample the blood of our Lord and Savior under their feet on a daily basis. I'm not going to have time to go into a lot of things here tonight. I would love to. These things I've taught here, I've got some that have said under this doctrine for many years, and they still don't know how to differentiate between the blood and between the fire of the Holy Ghost. And they continually plead the blood of Jesus for their sin, and which is an abomination in God, and He'll absolutely cast you into hell for trampling the blood under feet. And you say, don't you do away with the blood. Let me tell you, the blood had its place to bring me into the Spirit. But the Bible said the sons of God are led by the Spirit of God, not by the blood. It said that they walk in the Spirit. They pray in the Spirit, and they speak by the Spirit, and they think on heavenly things, amen, of the things in the Spirit. The blood God has sent through the third heaven. We had to come through the blood. The blood was applied in the second heaven to make the cross into the third to cleanse. There's a purpose for the blood. I'm not doing away with the blood. But when you keep walking in the blood dimension, you will perish. I showed you in the scriptures where the water covenant was broken. And the whole earth was flooded by water to vindicate it. When Cain came and offered a water sacrifice that wasn't acceptable to God, and Abel offered a blood sacrifice by the killing of an animal, and God accepted that, and it made Cain so mad that he killed his brother. It showed the blood dimension come in. Bloodbath through the whole Old Testament, all the way to Calvary. There was blood of bulls and goats all the way through, and sacrifices made, and God wasn't pleased with that. But he was pleased with the one and final finishing of that covenant, the sacrifice of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the bloodshed of Jesus. And he said, there at the cross of Calvary, he said, it's finished. The covenant of the blood covenant was finished. It was done away with. Death was abolished. It was done. The last enemy of God was conquered right then. We got to believe this, brethren. So now, when we come to this point that we realize that we are partakers of the blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and that we're partakers of that, and we go to the watery grave of baptism in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, for the remission of sin, and we bury that man for the remission of sin, and he comes forth as a new creature in the resurrection. We're children of the resurrection, and we're walking now in the Spirit. We're birthed in the Spirit. We're born of God. We're translated into the marvelous kingdom of God, the Bible says. So then we start understanding differentiation between the Spirit, between the soul, and between the body, between the Father, between the Word, and between the Holy Ghost. And we got to fulfill all righteousness. And how are we going to do this? How, brethren, are we going to do this? We're going to do it by being filled with the Holy Ghost and having the power to overcome the mind of the flesh, the carnal mind, and we're going to subdue it. We're going to overpower it. We're going to conquer it because we're more than conquerors, and we're going to put it under our feet, and we're going to walk in the resurrection. We're going to walk in the power. We're going to walk in the authority. We're going to walk in the resurrection, and we're going to walk in the Spirit. But if we walk in the flesh, and the Bible again says, whoever we yield our members to are who we are of. If we yield ourselves to the beggarly elements of this world, then we're of our father the devil. I could read that to you in the scriptures. We're going to read on down and go a little farther. Verse 1, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works. I really should have started with Hebrews right at the beginning of the service, because I could stay in here for hours to try to get you to see some things. Of the doctrines of baptism, laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. And this we'll do if God permit. For it is maybe a chance. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and had tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify themselves, the Son of God, afresh and put him to an open shame. What is that saying, Brother Rob? Now I'm going to say something. I'm going to take you over to the 10th chapter, and we're going to read a little more. But let me say something here. This has to do with taking and applying the blood of my Lord and Savior to your willful sin. And you're thinking that you're going to cover it in the blood. And you think that you're going to cry to God, say, oh God, I knew I shouldn't have done it. Oh God, I'm just pleading the blood of Jesus. It's impossible to do that. It's impossible to do that. But then yet the Pentecostal preachers will pull you into the altars and they'll plead the blood of Jesus over your foul, wretched self. That's not right, brethren. I'm telling you, I know what I'm talking about here. Oh, the Pentecostal world may fight me on this. All the churches may fight on this, but I know the scriptures and the word of God, and I understand it. It's been unveiled to me, and I see it. You're not going to plead the blood of Jesus for your willful disobedience and willful sin. Go to Hebrews 10 now. This is a passage of scriptures. I was traveling, preaching the gospel, searching, and I did not understand these things. And the first brother that was able, I asked preachers all over the United States in my travels. I'd love to get with preachers. I said, man, I want to ask you some questions. Man, I'd love to sit down and start asking questions. And I got answers by every one of them, and not one of their answers ever bared witness in my spirit. I got answers from every one of them. They thought they knew. And it never bared witness. And finally, when a man gave me the answer to it, I was dull up here, man. I'm thinking, my God, I don't know what you just said. But my spirit man came alive. My spirit man said, there it is. This is what you've been longing for. This is what you've been searching for. This is what you've been desiring. And it's just been unveiled to you. And then as it started coming and seeping up into my conscience mind and into my thoughts, I started perceiving and understanding and grasping it. And it isn't by the eloquence of speech that a man can bring it to you. It's by the spirit of revelation that it must come. And you better pray that God would grant unto you that spirit of revelation that you could see, perceive, and understand and comprehend. Amen. Verse 14 says, for by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Where of the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us. For after that he had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Isn't that awesome? Now where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. Come on now, listen to this. Now where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. How'd you get there? By the blood. You entered into that holiest place of all by a new and living way which he hath consecrated for us through the veil. That is to say, his flesh. And having an high priest over the house of God. Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. How many have wavered? He's commanding us here, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. And some don't think they need fellowship with the brotherhood. The brotherhood's going to provoke you unto good works. But you get out there on your own and you're just going to walk in the slop. And you're going to come home and you're going to stay in the slop. And then you're going to watch the slop and you're going to eat the slop. And you call yourself a Christian and a son of God. God have mercy on us. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. Yes, seek after your careers, brethren. God, have mercy. It's a shame to lightly esteem the word of God and to mock. The Bible said God is not mocked. When you lightly esteem what I'm reading forth here, and you lightly esteem this, you're mocking God. And the Bible said God's not mocked. In the covenant of the law, they would drag him into the streets and stone him. Brethren, it's coming back to that. You say, that's what I feel like every time I come to church here. Well, praise God. I'm trying to kill out that flesh, man. Because you ain't trying. You love it too much. You pamper it, cater to it. God have mercy on you. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is. But exhorting one another, and so much the more, as you see the day approaching. Now listen to this scripture right here that's going to vindicate what I'm telling you. For if we sin willfully after we've received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. Now did that vindicate what I just said? Now listen to me. Verse 26, for if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy unto two or three witnesses. And how much more sore punishment suppose you shall be thought worthy who have trodden underfoot the Son of God and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. For we know him that hath said, vengeance belongeth unto me, and I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall in the hands of the living God. But call to remembrance the former days in which, after you were illuminated, you endured a great fight of affliction, partly whilst you were made a gazing stock, both by reproaches and afflictions, and partly whilst became companions of them that were so used. Brethren, have we endured? I tell you what you are as an American. They call yourself an American. You're a bunch of sissies. Come on now. You that call yourself a Christian with an American theology, you're a bunch of sissies. Well, I'm mad. They sit in my pew. I'm not coming back to that church. I say, shut up. We don't want your filthy, perverted self back. When you go and you ramble in your homes and you reason against the brotherhood, and you sit there and ramble, you're not needed here because you're a spot in the feast of charity. Amen. And you're nothing more than a sinner, and you sin every day. Come on, brethren. Let's get real with the Word of God here. Amen. Let's be real. Well, say, you need to explain this. Well, let me tell you what my Bible says. It says, ye that are born of God cannot sin. It says, you cannot sin. And it goes on to tell you why. It's because his seed remaineth in you and keepeth you from sin. The Bible goes on to say, blessed is the man who God does not impute sin. Now, this is where some fine lines of differentiation start coming in here. You were born as a sinner, shaping in iniquity. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. You better realize that. That's of your first man, of your first mind. And you are sin. And you're a sinner, and it's appointed unto that to damnation and death and corruption. You receive by faith in God that you're not going to take and bring that man alive, but by faith in God you're going to kill that man. You're going to crucify that man, and you're going to put him where his rightful place is, dead in Christ. That's why we take it to a watery grave. That's why we baptize it in the name of Jesus Christ. And when it comes forth, it ain't coming forth as that man no more. He was buried and we come forth in the resurrection, the children of the resurrection. We come forth as that new creature in Christ. That old man's gone. He's passed away. He's done. He was relative to sin. This new man isn't. But when you walk after the beggarly elements of the flesh and continue on. Now let's ring a bell here. Let me back up a little. Read something to you here. I'm going to bring it into a revelation of something. Verse 27, but a certain fearful looking for of the judgment and the fiery indignation which shall devour the adversary. So what is the indignation, the fiery indignation? To devour the adversary. Now I'm going to ring some bells here. How many have seen me go over to the scriptures in Revelation? I could take you over to several passages in Revelation, and it said God was, God is, and God is to come. How many have seen me go there? Okay. How many have seen me go into the Father, the Word, and Holy Ghost, the body, soul, spirit, the first, second, third heaven, the translation, the transformation, the transfiguration, the justification, sanctification, and the glorification? These are all dimensions. So we have to break these things down. I'm going to break this down right here. I'm going to go into some dimensional understanding of it. I could take you to Matthew 24. I could break it down and say it's all been fulfilled. I could say it's all happening and it's all yet to come. Because we have a God that was, a God that is, and a God that is to come. But let's look at this. What is the fiery indignation of God to you as the elect of God? Is it hell? Absolutely not. John the Baptist again said, there will be one come after I, that I'm not worthy to unlatch his shoes, but he will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. When you're a son of God, that purging fire of the Holy Ghost, it'll burn those things out of you and bring the chastening on this side. The Bible said some men's sins go before and some after. If you're walking in willful disobedience to God, you better hang on to the whipping post because he's going to beat your hind end. The Bible said he chastens them that he loves. Come on now. That's what he says. And when you're out there living like a dog and a devil and you're going on and there ain't no chastening to you, you're a bastard child. You have no father. You should have the Spirit of the Father within you crying, Abba, Father. But when you live like a dog and a devil and you come and you plead the blood of Jesus, you're a reprobate. You ain't never seen good, and good has never come your way because you rejected it. That's pretty tough stuff, son. I'm just following the leading of the Lord, preaching the Word of God. The fiery indignation of the Holy Ghost. The fiery indignation of God, the Bible says. These three are one, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. In this dispensation we're in, the Holy Ghost ain't just some matter of you going to church and speaking in tongues. If you've decreased or diminished the Holy Ghost down to some altar experience, you're no more than a reprobate yourself. The Holy Ghost is life, it's power, it's authority, it's salvation. It is all things that pertaineth unto life. It gives me all authority, all power to walk and put the scorpions under my feet and the serpents and the snakes. It's all power. It ain't some altar experience. It ain't a goosebump. So when you've been baptized with the Holy Ghost and fire, brethren, that fire is going to absolutely, when you walk into disobedience of God, it's going to bring chastening to you. Or you're a bastard. You have no father. That's the Bible. That's what the Word teaches. That's the Bible. Now, to a heathen, he's under the blood right now. The whole world is in a dispensation of grace. But one day the blood's going to come off the mercy seat. And God's going to see them as what they've always been. That individual, the fire indignation of God, will be cast into the lake of fire. You understand that? There's your baptism of fire. So we just differentiated between the elect and the bastard children. The elect of God, God's seed, God's children. It's His seed that remaineth in you that keepeth you from sin. Now, so where am I today? I'm in the Spirit. How am I led today in the Spirit? How do I walk today in the Spirit? We have to learn to see, the Bible says this, that we have to see the unseen and we have to hear the inaudible. We don't walk by sight, but we walk by faith, not by sight. There's an invisible dimension, brethren, with invisible powers and authorities and principalities. Remember this God that you got the Spirit of that says, Abba, Father, is an invisible God. And all this that is seen in this world is vanity. We have preachers that say that the Father's a person because He thinks, because He has mercy, because He has compassion, it makes Him a person. Please, God have mercy on you. You cannot mess the Scriptures up so terribly bad. God, this Spirit, this omnipresent, omnipotent Spirit that is everywhere, the highest height, the deepest depth. He understands every language in the world. He's everywhere. He's in me. He's in you. He's through us and in us. You can't make that into a person. That's so simple. I mean, it sickens me in my heart when I hear such foolish stupidity of Catholicism that has climbed all the way up into my Pentecostal friends and brothers with their Pentecostal doctrines of devils. Climbed all the way up into the elder levels. When you found the deception in the Sanhedrin, the deception of the Sanhedrin in that day that Jesus walked and they smite Him across the face and commanded Him to be killed. It's the same powers in the earth today. The same devils, the same spirits. They've climbed up all the way into the upper levels of my Pentecostal brethren and they're all walking in a lie and believing a lie and they're all damned. And they're walking after flesh with a little goosebump, and they're seeking after a sign. The Bible said, I'm afraid of you that are seeking after a sign. Well, I want to hear you speak in tongues. Oh, you got the Holy Ghost. I want to see this. I want to see that. That ain't the Word of God. We've been filled with the Holy Ghost. We've been given the gifts of God. We've got discernment, and we can recognize the Spirit of the living God when He's in a man. We can see Him walking in the Spirit, walking in the power, walking in the authority, because there's a Spirit that bears witness with your spirit, and He's walking in the power of God. He said, I'm afraid of you that are seeking after a sign. The sign was for the Jews. That's why they spoke in tongues. The Jews needed a sign. I'm not a Jew. I'm a spiritual Jew. I don't need no sign. Come on now. They seek after gifts and gifts pervert judgment. Come on now. We better learn the word. We better learn the word. Had a little girl in my face not too long ago. Thought she knew the word. But the word was looking her back right in her eyes. And the word was speaking. And she said, that's flesh. That's frightening to me. I know the word. I know the word, brethren. Some are so spiritual, they walk among me. They're so spiritual, they think they've climbed up into something. And they don't have true submission and surrenderance to the authority and the power of God. You know, I didn't ask for this. The policeman pulls you over on the road, brother. You know what he does? You say, you ain't nobody, you're just a man like me. And he said, but this man's been given authority to write you a ticket today. And I got all the law back in me. I got the judges back in me. I got right here at my radio and my fingertips. I got every officer in this county. Let me right here just real quick. You understand that? Let me tell you something. I'm the least of all, and I ain't nothing, brethren. But I'm going to tell you what I've been sent in the authority of the power of God to preach against sin, to turn people away from sin. You understand? To reprove, to rebuke, and to exhort, and to forgive sin. You understand that? To remit sin. You understand that? That's what my Bible teaches me. It says, and we have any authority to bind and to loose. Come on now. We have the authority to bind and loose. You understand that? Do you realize that we can bind a sin to a man and he can't find forgiveness in this world or the world to come? Don't you read in the scripture said, turn him over to destruction? Come on now. Woe unto him that holds a sword back from blood. That's what the Bible says. You say, do you believe that, Brother Rob? Hey, I believe it. Well, that's different, Brother Rob. We're in a dispensation of grace in the church. So was Ananias and Sapphira when they fell over dead in the church. Yeah. Fell over right in the church in the house of God, dead on the floor for lying to the preacher. He said, wasn't it yours anyway? What are you lying about it for? Wasn't it yours? You know, we don't want to lie to the Holy Ghost. We got to believe the word, brethren. We got to believe the word. Brethren, we better start pressing and drawing and holding on. There's going to be, I don't like to speak this. Maybe I shouldn't. Brother Pike rebuked me for speaking what I saw in the Spirit. Sometimes the wise man got concealed with the matter. People say, you know, Brother Rob, sometimes you have to conceal. And when it was caught into the third heaven, he was told not to speak them things. Seal it up. He couldn't share those things. Brother Pike was in the third heaven in a vision. And he said, man, I got to show these to my brother. And he started gathering over. He said, you can't take them down there. He said, the law will get you. That's what happened in the vision. He said, the law will get you. He said, you can't take them down there. You got to catch them up hither and bring them to this. Sometimes the intellectual mind of your self-will and overconfidence and in love with yourself and thinking too highly of yourself. I have a dear friend, a Pentecostal preacher, that is so in love with himself that I don't know if he'll ever see the revelation of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I don't know if he will. Are you just one that is repeating what the others are saying? Are you just one walking with all the others saying the same things that you're saying? Well, the Bible said, you know, that we're going to come to the same mind and be in one mind and one accord. You know, I say, yeah, yeah, and amen. Said we're going to come to the same judgment. When you hear judgment coming forth from the sacred desk and you ain't in that mind, then you're the enemy of God. Because I know I'm not. I'm a servant. And I come into his mind. And you think you're in his mind and you haven't even applied. You're under the grace. You're under the mercy. But let me ask you a question. What happens if the blood comes off tonight? Where are you at? What will you be if the blood came off tonight? Are you going to be exposed in your sin? Are you going to be exposed in your flesh? Are you going to be exposed in your mind of darkness? Because let me tell you, it's going to happen. Because some of us will be seen, and they're going to go, wow, old Brother Rob is really what he said he is. He's a son of God. Outshining the noonday sun. See, the world don't see that right now. They look at me and say, you're just an old fat preacher. I say, I understand. I look at the same ignorant sucker in the mirror too. He's ugly, ain't he? But let me tell you something. We got to come to a revelation of understanding the Christ. If we break it down, we see that there's an application. We find this fiery indignation of God. I'm a son of God. I displease God. And he brings the fiery judgment down on my head and purges me by fire. The Holy Ghost to repent. I don't like that. I love it because I know that's what my Father does, because he loves me. But I don't like to be in the chastening, and the Bible, you know, teaches us if we despise chastening, we're in real trouble. So I'm trying to be careful what I said. I want to be in obedience is what I'm saying. I want to walk in the obedience of God. I don't want this sacrifice in my life. Amen. You know, how does sacrifice come, Brother Ron? What is it? There could be financial sacrifices. There could be physical sacrifices, health sacrifices. There's so many sacrifices that could be made. Because you're relative to this world and to this mind. When you're hurt in the flesh, you're hurt. When you're financial in despair, you're in financial despair. And sometimes that's what it takes to get your attention. So you're telling me that everybody that's in financial despair isn't of God? No, I surely didn't say that, but I'll tell you what. I do know that he'll make a way for the sons of God. Never seen the righteous forsaken or their seed begging for bread. He said, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but he will deliver us from them all. And when I find the afflictions, I'm looking for deliverance. I find in the scriptures that some say their wounds stink because of their foolishness. And I've seen people have wounds because of their foolishness, and they say they got those for their testimony of Christ. I had an individual tell their landlord one time, I got word back of this from the landlord. Told their landlord, he said, I can't pay my rent because I had to go pay my tithes at the church. What a reproach. A person that would speak that is nothing but a reprobate. And they're a liar, and they lied to God, they lied to man. Because let me tell you somebody that's faithful unto God, God's word is true, and he will make a way. Amen. I'm telling you, there is times I will say this, in my walk with God, that I made sacrifices many times of my own financial things to be obedient to the word of God. But he always made a way. He always made a way. His word is real, and it's life, and it's right. But I would have never spoke that to a bill collector. Well, I'm sorry I'm late. I had to pay my tithes. Man, what kind of reprobate mind is that? One that's lying to God. They would never say that. Let me tell you something. It doesn't work that way. God will help us. He'll work with us. He'll lead us and he'll direct us and he will guide us, and his word is real, and it's yea and amen. Now, if you're in financial trouble, you know, you can say, oh my, you know, that must be the judgments of God and the chastening of the Lord. That's the first place to look. Yes, because that's what I do. But let me tell you something. When I came, I was preaching the gospel when I met Brother Pike. I was working and laboring and giving my life to the Lord the best of my ability. And when I got there, I had two brand new cars and I was stripped down of everything. Every preacher friend of mine called me. Man, Brother Rob, you've missed God. You've prospered. We've known you for years. You've always, God's taken care of you and blessed you in abundance of finances. It was prophesied over me. Back when I was in these Pentecostal rooms, it said the meal barrel will never go dry with you, brother. Do you know that prophecy was from God? But let me tell you something. God was putting me in a place and stripping me down that he could build me back up, and I wasn't doing it. Took my pastor riding off with me one day. And he said, brother, you've made an abundance and you've done it your way. But he said, God's going to strip you down and he's going to do it his way. Just watch. He's going to bless you and you'll prosper. I didn't seek after prosperity. I wasn't looking for prosperity. I was looking to do something for the kingdom of God and do something for other people. And when you give your life and make that full surrenderance, get out of your will, get out of your way, get out of his way, and just surrender to him 100%. That's all he wants. Is your life as a living sacrifice. That's all he wants. He wants your life as a living sacrifice. I know many brethren and many friends and many ministers. They want the road painted for them. They want to see like the road map. They want to see the provisions in the route. They want to see everything, all the T's crossed, the I's dotted, and all the check marks filled before they'll go. God can't use them. And he won't use them. They will be used in their own might, their own power, and their own will. And they'll set forth and do exploits that will look pleasing to God, and it is, because they're doing something out of love, and it's just the measure that they're at. But I'll tell you this, that when you come to the measure, when you come to really being led by faith in God and you're walking in faith, that means when you go and there's impossible. We was down in Mexico. Some brothers said, man, Brother Robert, ain't going to work. We ain't got enough. Man, the people are about ready to bust the doors down. It's going to be a riot, brother, when this stuff runs out. And then one brother started counting the goods. And they said, don't do that. He said, that'll grieve Brother Rob. If you remember, they got in trouble in Israel for counting their strength. Don't count your strength. You start counting strength, he'll start stripping your strength away. And we saw a supernatural event take place. I worked a job. I finished a job up here. I probably shouldn't shoot a number to it, but my final paycheck on a job up here in town, I was doing some remodeling, and I got draws through the job. It was a $40,000, $50,000, $60,000 job. And my final paycheck was $5,000, my final what they owed me. And I said, Lord, I'm going to put it in my pocket, and I'm going to give it away until it's gone. When I get down to Mexico, I'm going to give it to the needy. People was with me. I never counted it one time. I never looked and seen how much money I'd given away. Never counted it one time. I said, Lord, I'm going to do what you're going to ask me to do. People were walking up to me on the streets and saying, you know what, I'm trying to get back down on the other far side of Mexico. I came up here hoping to get into the U.S. I didn't. It didn't work out. And I'd just like to get back to my family. Here's a $100 bill. How much your bus ticket? Give it to them. Some of you was with me. Some of you can remember this. One brother said, Brother Rob, he said, he was with me, stayed by my side most of the trip. And he said, I'd never seen so many $100 bills coming out of a pocket. He said, my God, I know, brother, that you spent much more and went down and bought several hundred or a couple $1,000 worth of food in one place. And we started going out and delivering it to the people, taking rice, taking flour, taking eggs, taking lard, taking things for provisions. And we just kept going, didn't count it. Didn't count it whatsoever. Some of you remember the last trip we went to Mexico. Affliction after affliction and strike after strike. I didn't have enough money to go down there and come back, let alone go down there and get a building built and buy all the materials for it. I said, Lord, you told me to go. Had people praying, people said faith, and we went, and the provisions came in the going. Phones started ringing. People calling, hey, I heard you're doing this. I want to help. I wasn't out pleading. I wasn't on the internet pleading and saying, oh, we're doing this. We want help. Never asked for help. But people got word what Brother Rob was doing and the brethren at Christian Temple, and they started saying, I want to help. We had our 15-passenger van full of youth to go down for a mission trip, and the rear end blew up, 50 miles from home, Mandy? Salisbury. Already thinking, I don't know how we're going to get down there and how we're going to accomplish this, how we're going to do that, and get a call that this thing happened. Some thought, well, maybe we'll just have to take kids back home. It ain't going to work out. No chance of that. Not going to hurt faith of children. They prayed. They fasted. I didn't care if I had to take the last pennies that I had. And it was $1,100 and some to rent a van for a week to go down there. $1,100. You know, that would have bought possibly the windows. Would have paid for the electricity or the sheetrock, you know, or whatever. We wired a building, sheetrocked the building, put the plumbing in the building, the water heaters, the toilets, and everything. And we went by faith in God. But as I was going to make arrangements for that, a man called me on the phone and said that this crew of men were out working on a job and got word this event took place, and they said they wanted to rent the van. He said that the crew on this job said, hey, we'll pay for it, and the men got together and they paid that. But see, if I wouldn't have been out there on the road going broke, that would have never happened. Do you all agree with that? Say, oh, you wasn't broke, Brother Rob. You don't know what I was. You just think that you know. I said, God, you're going to have to make a way when there seems to be no way. You're going to have to help. Some people sit around and they pray, they got faith, and they're just waiting for these things to happen. It don't work that way. Doesn't work that way. One thought that he was leaning into himself, his strength and his power, and God started stripping it away and saying, look, it isn't by your army. It isn't by your strength. And started weeding down his army, weeding it down. Going to leave your swords at home. Going to leave your shields at the house. I'm not going to go fight against that adversary without my sword, without my shield. Lord said, no, just do what I said. Take a clay pitcher with you. Put a candle in it. See, you guys read those stories, you think about them, sort of put yourself there. Hey, wait a minute, man. I'm a marksman. Son, I could shoot a fly off a sign at 100 yards. Yeah, I'm the man. Leave your gun at home, boy. I know what that attitude is. I'm the one. I could do it. Get out of the way. I'll show them. Well, God will knock you on your backside real quick and laugh at you when you're down. You say, I don't believe he's that way. Better read the word. He said he'll laugh at you in the day of your calamity. Because that mind is what will put you in hell. An overconfident mind will put you in hell. A man with a lot of skills and abilities. I've had many. And we get in the way of God. I got this under control. God, you just go ahead and you keep running your business up there in heaven. You found a man down here, son. Woohoo! Here I is, Lord. I got this one under control. And you know what? He lets you walk out the door with your chest stuck out, and you're going to trip over a kid's toy and bust your nose. And he's going to smile, pat you on the head. It's okay, little guy. Just remember that your wisdom and your greatest understanding is foolishness to him. And your most strength is weakness to him. So get out of the way. You know, we got to get out of the way and say, God, you know what? I need your help. God, don't let me get in your way with my intellectual ignorance. Don't let me get in your way, Lord God. Grant wisdom to me. Grant power to me. Grant love to me. Grant strength to me. You know the ones that are projecting how revelational they are and how spiritual they are and how much God they have? I watch their lives. And every one of them is failing God. They're walking in the ignorance of flesh. They're walking in the instability of God. And God's blowing on everything that they touch and everything. And it's just a mess. And all they'd have to do is say and humble themselves a little bit and say, God, I need your help. I need you, Lord God. I found out something. I'm not going to make it in by my own wisdom and my own power and my own might. It's by your grace and by your mercy and by your compassion. And then when you come to submit to that, then you can find what revelation really is. You'll be revealed the real love of God, the real strength of God. I would rather walk in the simple little elementary things of God with him being real to me as try to make myself lifted and vaulted up in some place that it's make-believe and unreal. And then I got to put on some kind of little facade around people for they think I'm something. You understand that? It's just vanity and vexation of the spirit. It's the one that drops his head. Said, God, I'm not even worthy to look your way. And he'll bring that man in. But the one that thinks that he's earned a way because of his vast understanding, his superior ability over other men. Let me tell you something, brethren. When you're around a man and he's always blasting brethren and sisters, or a woman that's always blasting and making himself better, remember it's the Antichrist. Remember, it's the Antichrist every time. Not part of the time, not some of the time. It's the Antichrist. Listen to me. It's the Antichrist. Because he's the one that came to kill, steal, and destroy. He's the one that come to sow discord. He's the one that come to bring strife. He's the one that come to separate. It's Antichrist. You understand that? There is a time that things can be discussed, and you'd have to be very careful. Got to be very cautious. Very careful. Brother Pike would say, I'm going to speak to you as a physician talking to a physician. If we speak this before the patient, it'll kill him. The patient needs to have trust. The patient needs to have faith. The patient needs to not know how bad they really are, for they could have a little bit of hope that they can have strength to overcome the sickness. If we take that hope away from them, they're going to submit to it and they're going to die. That's why the Bible said a wise man concealeth the matter. There's a time to conceal. But there's a time I could show you in the scriptures where they brought it out. It said, mark them. It commands the church to break fellowship and to separate from them. I've had to ask my brethren in this family of God here to do that. I've had to ask them on more than one occasion, you need to break fellowship with them. To bring them to repentance that they could repent of their sins. They could feel the shame of their wrong. I've put men out, told my brethren, or the brethren here, the Lord's brethren, to break fellowship with them. And they continued to fellowship them. And then guess what? They got put out. Because it's not following the will of God and the leading of God. You see, we're concerned for souls. We're concerned for their soul, brethren. Are you willing to break fellowship with somebody you love because you have more of a concern for their soul than you have for the fellowship with them? Are you more concerned about hurting somebody's feelings than telling them the truth that they could bypass damnation and destruction? You see, but we have to use wisdom. Let ye that are spiritual go to that one that's overtaken in the fall. I said, let ye that are spiritual go to that one. How many times have I watched people that aren't spiritual go to ones that are overtaken in a fall? And you know what the Bible goes on to say there? What happens to them? They get sucked up in the same thing. How come you ain't been in church? Hey, brother, I come by. I'm really concerned about you. I haven't seen you in church in a few days. Well, that brother Rob, I just don't like him. You know, that brother Rob, man, he just thinks that he's something. And he ain't nothing. You know that brother Rob? He just ain't got the revelation like I got. And all of a sudden you're sucked into the same thing with them and you're out. And you're going to hell with them. You see, it ain't about brother Rob. This is God's work. This is the Lord's work. And when a man would think that brother Rob is weak or in the weakness, you know what a man full of the Holy Ghost will do? He's going to come in and join hands with me and say, brother, two of us could set 10,000 to flight, and I'm here to help you because I've got the Spirit of the living God. But when you take a man that's doing the best that he can and you trample him and you walk on him, when it's a sister doing something for God and you trample him and you walk on them and you curse them and you speak about them and you openly talk about it, you are an adversary of the devil, an enemy of God, and you will burn in hell. God said the thing he hates the most, more than drunks, more than whores, is sowing discord amongst the brethren. He said he hates that more. He hates that more. Go read it for your own self. I like the people that want to prove me wrong. I'm going to go look that up. Good, please go look it up. Please look it up. Look it up and find it and then repent. Amen. Pray and ask God to guard over your lips, to guard over your conversation, guard over your mind, guard over your thoughts. Y'all love the Lord? Amen. We could expound till daylight over some of the things that we've opened up to you tonight. We could expound on it, but just talking about the love of God. Brethren, I want to walk in the will of God. I want to walk in the love of God. I don't want to take this grace of God to my own will, to my own lasciviousness. I don't want to take this grace and trample it under my feet. I don't want to be guilty of willful sin in my life. And if I'm going to go off into willful disobedience to God, blessed is the man who God doesn't impute sin. So if I'm a son of God and born again, it won't be imputed to me as sin, but I will find the fiery indignation of God if I'm spirit-filled of the Holy Ghost. If not, the Bible said some men's sins go before and some after. The ones that after, you'll be cast into hell for every thought and every single thing that you've done. Let the mercy of God be with you. Let the grace of God be with you. Love Him. If you've been guilty and you've made mistakes, pick back up and repent. Say, God, have mercy on me. Help me, Lord Jesus. Don't let me walk in my own will, my own way, and my own thoughts, my own theology. Let me walk in the Spirit. Lord, lead me directly. Let me be sensitive. Exhorting some of these young brothers, some of these brethren that are single. I said, you guys get together, you won't get out and just frolic and talk about girls and stuff. You're going to strengthen one another and y'all go to hell. When you're around one another, you need to be talking about the Word and the Lord. And you need to be talking about getting a vision and pressing in and making yourself available. For we don't fall into the same snare, the same iniquity, the same pattern, the same thing we got to conquer, we got to overcome. The failure starts right here in the mind. We get overconfident thinking that we're something when we're nothing. That's what the Bible says. Man's ways are right in his own eyes, but the end leads to destruction. We don't want to be that man. We want to be sensitive to God. Remember, we all have a part. We all need to walk one with another. And we see a brother overtaking a fall. We want to love him and help him. Don't feel sorry for him. Oh, well, I feel sorry for him. No, it's willful. Willful disobedience, willful acts of sin. I don't feel sorry for him. Now, I'm a granddaddy. I feel sorry for my little grandkids when daddy wears them out. Come here to pops. No. Mama looked away on that one. No, I tell you, we got to be careful with that. When the chastening of the Lord is on a man, you better be careful. We've all been guilty of this. How does God chasten? If He's chastening through provision, and then we give the provision, we get in God's way. The Bible said, man don't work, he don't eat. Come on now. Now, if we know a man's willing to work and he has a mind to work and he labored into work and he got into some problems, we'll feed that man and we'll do it with joy and happiness. But then sometimes we could be feeding a sluggard and we're giving place to willful sin. And we're not allowing God to bring the fiery indignation or the chastening to that man. And we get in God's way. Come on now. Some fine lines here, brethren. I'll tell you what, you know, you think you're spiritual, you think you're walking in the Spirit this have. There's some fine lines. Let me tell you something, how God works. He'll have you spend $10,000 knowing that it isn't going to do one thing for the kingdom of God. One thing. One thing. And he'll tell you to do it. Because that man's going to stand before God one day. And he's going to stand in the judgment of God. And he's going to be cast into hell. And he was showing the benevolent acts to that man. Do you remember? Some don't believe me when I say stuff like that. But I was with Brother Pike, and Andy will remember this. And a man just blasted him. Said he was nothing but of the devil. And Brother Pike said, Brother Rob. And he gave me the keys to a motorhome that was worth about $20,000. $30,000. I don't know. Handed me the keys. He said, I want you to go give it to that man. And he gave it to him. And that man was blasting him while he'd done it. He said, we're going to shut the mouth of the gainsayer. I told the brethren when we went to North Dakota. I said, I'm just following the leading of the Lord. But I had in my spirit, I knew that there was some things. I said, let's go. And I'm hoping that maybe something would take place. But before I got out of the town that we went over and spent $1,000, the Lord told me and I spoke it. I said, this ain't going to last. Then I said, well, why did the Lord do this? Because that little young man will stand before the Lord one day. And he rejected and mocked the word of God. He had a chance to go on in the power and the authority of an anointed preacher. But he mocked God and went after his own doctrine and his own will. When we showed the love of God. Brother, I'm going to tell you something. We've taken and brought the love of God and showed the love of God. And they turned and rend us before we got out of their sight. They took our blessings. A little gal here just not long ago cursed me. She said, God have mercy on you, Brother Rob. She said, Brother Rob, God is going to tear you up. She say that, Irene? She said, you're going to find the judgments of God for doing this to me. I did nothing. I just told her I'd never speak the word of God to her again. I said, you'll never hear Brother Rob speak the word of God to you ever again. You need to find some place that you can find a pastor that you could trust, because I'll never speak the word of God to you. Boy, that would put fear and trembling in me if a man of God ever told me that. That'd scare me so bad. A man of God say, I'll never speak the word to you. Man, that's your lifeline. That's your lifeline. Without the word, you have no faith. I never ask him, listen, you can stay over there as long as you want, but you'll never hear the word out of my mouth to you. Ever. When God speaks to me, I will not speak it to you, because he told me I can't. Had that happen with two people in my life. Two people. God told me, he said, don't you ever open your mouth and mention my name to that man ever again. And I knew that he'd bring judgment on me if he did. Man's dead in hell. Cut off, just like that. Do you believe a man could be cut off today? Let me tell you something. A man could be cut off today. Are you saying that sister's cut off? I didn't say that. I just said she'd never hear the voice of God from me again. And I'm hoping that she'll find repentance with God. Strong, 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 strong. One of the strongest religious spirits that I've seen in many years. And I used to have a very strong religious spirit. I know him well. I know how to identify him. I know how to see him. I recognized it long before any of you ever probably heard the name. Saw it, witnessed it. And I said, God, I'll do what I can. They could bring a man on the surgery table. He'd busted, slapped to pieces, tore to pieces, maybe even limbs missing. That physician's going to say, hey, I'm going to use every skill and every ability I got to sew, to replace, to fix, to remove, to stop whatever and keep them alive. Sometimes they lose them on the table, brethren. Sometimes they do that. I've lost them on the surgery table before as a spiritual physician, doing the very best that I could. Following the will of God and the leading of the Lord, but lost them because they couldn't receive. There was many that stood before him. He couldn't heal them. Meaning his homeland, they weren't healed. Oh, I know who your daddy is. You're just an old carpenter's boy. And they couldn't receive the healing of God. And it was God Almighty walking with them. And the same thing is you could look at me and say, you're just another old preacher there, a dime a dozen. And I could bring the word and the strength and life to you. Or I could bring damnation and judgments of God to you. I don't desire to do that. I'm going to close with this thought. not trying to put fear of anything in anybody. I could just tell you, go read Romans 13 tonight. That ought to put some fear in you. That ought to put fear of God in some people. But they have to read it by the mind of Revelation, the mind of the Lord. But the Lord spoke this to me. And listen close. He said that this ministry of Christian Temple Church, of Brother Rob Coons, I don't have a ministry, I'm the minister of the Lord. He said, I'll put more people in hell than I'll put into the kingdom of God. And you know what I wanted to do? What would you do if you heard something like that? I wanted to run. Man, I wanted to run from the ministry, from the calling. I said, I want nothing to do with that. You know, and that's honestly, I'm just being honest with you. I'm thinking, man, you know, I don't want nobody to go to hell. I was tore up. But then he spoke to me, and I picked up a Bible. And he said, this word right here is going to put more people in hell than it's going to put into the kingdom of God. The Bible said, a broad path, a wide, broad path that leadeth to destruction. The Bible said, it's a straight and narrow way, and few be there that find it. And while I'm looking for that elect to bring the word to, some sit in this church and they're hearing a message that's going out to the elect. But they got to make that calling and election sure. And they're stumbling in fleshly willfulness of sin and pleasures of this world and pleasures of their life, pleasures of their own, walking in their own mind, thinking about themselves, looking in the mirror at themselves, and it's all about them and their pleasures and their wants and their gets and everything. And they've left the house of God, lay waste, and they run to their own household, and they're going to go to hell. They're going to burn in hell. And it tears me out of the frame that they sit in the counsel of God and in the presence of God and lightly esteem the word of God and go on about their own ways. And I'm not supposed to be emotional. But I'm called to preach the word. And I'm going to continue to preach the word. And I'm going to continue to love. And I love people. But we need to do some real soul searching in 2015. Could this be the final year? Could this Obama, so simple to see, abomination? And what does God do with the abomination? What does he do with abomination every time through the course of God? And why would God be so merciful to a land and to a people to put a black man in office named Obama? For he could show that America has become an abomination to him. And he despises America. And he hates it. Oh, Jacob, have I loved, and Esau, have I hated, he said. God hates America. And he hates Americans. You understand that? I've traveled around the world, and you know most of the world hates Americans. Some of them hate them because we've showed Christ. And some of them hate them because of their arrogance and their loudmouthness. You could be in another country, and you could be listening, and you can hear an American in the far corner of a restaurant talking. But all the other people, you couldn't hear them. Because Americans are loud, and they're loudmouths, and they're overconfident, and they're haughty. And that's the way they talk to their Jesus. And that's the way they go to church. And that's the way they go, like the man that put his finger in my face, told me I didn't know what I was talking about. Haughty arrogance. You'll never find God in your arrogance. Ask God for mercy. Ask him for mercy. That's the only chance. And you say, yeah, but I've come to a place, Brother Rob. I'm a blood-bought, born-again child of God, and I've come to the revelation of Jesus Christ, and I no longer live, and now it's Christ that lives, and I cannot sin, Brother Rob. I cannot sin because I understand this. Well, you quoted some mighty fine word there, God, but do you really believe it? And if you believe it, you receive it. And if you receive it, you got the power and the authority to walk above and beyond reproach. To have a good name within and without. Keep yourself unspotted from the affairs of the world. The Bible said a good soldier for Christ Jesus keeps himself unspotted from this world. When you're in the world, you're of your father, the devil. Come out of her, be a separate people. Touch not the unclean thing. That's what we got to do. I love you and God bless you. Let's stand together. Amen. I know it sounds like strong exhortation, brethren, but we are the sons of God. We are the blood-bought, born-again of the kingdom. Amen. And we're speaking by the authority of the Holy Ghost and the power of his salvation. And I'm speaking to you as the sons of God. And if I'm speaking to that flesh man, you need to say, kill him, Brother Rob. Help him. Take that sword of the Spirit and slay him, Brother Rob, and let that man no longer live. Help me keep him buried. Help him keep him under my feet. Help me walk in the Spirit. Help and lead me, direct me, and guide me by the mercy of God. Lead me into salvation. Lead me into the kingdom of God. Lead me into perfection. Amen. If you can have that kind of heart and that kind of mind and that kind of spirit, God will help you and he'll deliver you and he'll lead you and he'll bring you into the kingdom. But don't sit in your overconfidence of who you think you are. That's a frightening place. I know that place, Brother Ed. And God was merciful enough to slap me and knock me down. Amen. Praise God. Y'all love the Lord? Let's sing a song or two. Amen. This evening and the altars are open. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord God, feel, Father God. Oh, hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I praise your holy name, Lord God. I worship you. You are my Lord, my God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I thank you, Lord God, for the virtue and the anointing of the Holy Ghost that breaks every yoke and every bondage. I thank you, Lord God, Father God, that all power and all authority has been granted to the sons of God. Hallelujah. Oh, mighty God, I thank you, Lord God, that we can take authority over every enemy and everything that would exalt itself against you, Almighty God. I rebuke every spirit and every principality and every power in the name of Jesus Christ. And I speak life in the name of my Lord and Savior Jesus. I speak strength. Hallelujah. I speak a new man in Jesus' name that has all power, hallelujah, to overcome tobacco and alcohol and lust and perversion and ungodliness in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise your holy name, Lord God. Oh, Father, cleanse and make whole. Purify in the name of my Lord and Savior, Jesus. Strengthen, let him take that rightful place as a daddy in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Let him lead his daughter into all righteousness and fulfill all joy of salvation in Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Let all heaven and earth proclaim.
Hallelujah.
Kings and kingdom, they will all pass away. But there's something about that name.
Hallelujah. How many want to be more utilized to the Lord this year?
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. God's good, isn't he? Hallelujah. Brother Mark, I felt the Lord do something for you, brother. Just receive it and believe it. Amen. Hallelujah. You're going to have to walk in some different paths and some different roads. The old way didn't work, bro. And it ain't going to work. So walk in a different path. Reject thoughts. Cast them down. Amen. Don't yield to the weakness of the enemy. Amen. Don't yield to the weakness of the lukewarm Laodicean religion. I tell you, it's swallowed up our nation. Swallowed up America. It's swallowed up our Pentecostals. And they're walking in such a way, it sounds like I'm against our Pentecostal brethren, but they're supposed to be the cream of the crop, and they have made a mess of things. Yeah, we got some anointed Pentecostal preachers out there, love the Lord, don't misunderstand me. There's some good men out there, brethren. God, thank you. You know what I mean? There's some wonderful brethren out there. But let me tell you something, the mass majority of them are walking in such a disgrace to the anointing and to the callings. Some are thinking that they're followers of great men of God of old that walked in the authority and the power and the strength of God. And they've taken and just lightly esteemed and mocked the things and trampled. Amen. We're coming to a day, brother. There's going to be some times when some of these things are going to be unveiled and shown. And it's going to be exposed. It's happening.
Right.
It's taking place. And it's happening. Let's pray together. Pray one for another. Let's encourage one another as we see this day approaching, brethren. We need to encourage one another in the Lord. We need to encourage and exhort one another. You know, don't be afraid to reprove, to rebuke, and to exhort, and do it in love. You know, we need one another. Brother, there ain't a man in here that doesn't need a brotherhood.
Amen.
I'm talking about me. I love you. I need you. I don't mind saying that. I need you. I had two men that felt like this work would fail without them. Neither one of them are here, and we've gone on, hadn't we?
Amen.
Both of them, they prayed and even cursed. Seven. You wouldn't believe if you could hear the prayers of some that have cursed me. It would probably blow your mind. And then when you see me love them and help them and strengthen them and share with them and stuff,
mm-hmm.
and you'd think, man, Brother Rob, why would you do that? I've been telling you all night, Brother Rob was crucified with Christ. And it's the same spirit when he said, go ahead.
Yes.
Father, forgive them as they drive the nails in. They don't know what they do. We got to come to that. That's not talking about something that was done 2,000 years ago. It's something today.
That's right.
It has to be today.
That's right.
It has to be. Mm-hmm. So when God sends somebody against you and they lie against you and they speak all manner of evil against you, you need to lift up towards heaven and say, thank you, Jesus.
Yeah.
Amen. Your word is true.
Amen.
Your word is revealed. Amen. Just don't be that Judas.
Mm-hmm.
Just don't be him. Allow yourself to be with God, in God, through God, and say, here I am, Lord Jesus, help me. Let him lead you. Let him talk to you. Let him sup with you. Let him fellowship with you. Take time. We let the devil get us so busy, brother, that we don't have time to just listen to the Lord. We don't have time, brethren. I'm talking about Brother Rob too, man. We get so busy. We get so busy. Sometimes God has to stop us. We're so busy doing something for him, we don't have time to listen to him. He said, Brother Rob, I want you to go do this. And you take off, man, I got the direction of the Lord. Praise God, man, I'm in his will. And here we go. You still need to be listening.
Amen.
Because in the root, he might want you to grab one and bring him along.
Amen.
Brother Pike out in that ship. Oh, these guys, oh yeah, man, we're captains now. Boy, we got this understanding. Man, we're mariners, boy. Man, let me tell you, man, this is what the GPS, this is what the Lorance says, and this is the way we need to go right here. Brother Pike said, I don't care. He said, I want to go this way. Lord told him to go out to sea. Man, we've been out here for 3 days. We ain't seen land for 3 days, man. Let's go back. He said, no, we've got to go this way. Come on. It's back this way that we got to go. He said, no, go this way. They went out a little farther, and they found some guys out there in a dinghy, scared to death. Scared to death. When they found them out there, they got them up in the boat. Guys were so happy. Oh, I'll leave the dinghy. Man, let it drift on out. Just leave it. Don't even bring it back. I don't ever want to see a boat again. They tied it on and brought it back. But see, it was a man heard from God.
That's right.
See, all the others said, let's go this way. But he said, no, let's go on out a little farther. And there was some souls there. So when you got your vision, you got your plans, you got everything made up, got it all worked out, don't forget to listen to God. Because somewhere down that road, he might say, make a turn here. And it might be to get a soul. And it might be to deter you around. When I was pilot, I might get a call from the tower. Oh, I know where I'm going. I got all the needles are tuned right in. It's right there in the center. I'm at my altitude. Everything's fine. And he says, hey, 2915 whiskey. I want you to make a turn to the right. I want you to turn over to heading such and such. And you know why he wanted you to do that? He might have been taking you around a big thunderhead to tear your airplane to pieces. He might have been taking you around another airplane, right, in a collision course with you. And you listen. And you deviate your course, but you get right back on. God will deviate us. We're going to the same point, but he'll deviate us around. It might be around something for your soul. It might be around something to gather a family member. It might be around something to bring help, somebody make it into the kingdom. Be sensitive. Don't be overconfident. Be sensitive. Discern the voice. Try the spirit and see if it be of God. Every dream that comes to you ain't of God. And every voice that speaks in your head surely ain't God. The devil Amen. Could sound just like him. He could tell you, oh, brother, why is you the man? Sunshine, you good looking even. Well, I tell you what, man. And well, he'll tell you a lot of things, amen. God loves you in the apple of his eye. You know that, brother? But the thing is, we got to be very careful. The old devil will flatter you. He knows how to use flattery, and flatterly diggeth a pit. Brother John, when you got a little girl writing you on the internet, she said, you my king, brother. You my king. Oh, I love you. You my king. Sunshine, you know what you do when that thing? You say, man, it's time to turn this sucker off. Huh? Did you feel that? Oh, it went over your head?
No,
Oh, okay. No. And just remember, pretty little girls, when you're talking to that boy on the internet, oh, he's so cute, and a little Facebook fella, oh, he's so cute. Just remember, there's a big old bad breath German shepherd over there pounding on that keyboard, saying, honey, I love you. Boy, you's beautiful. It's just a dog, Brother Randy. Huh? It's just a dog. Lord will bring you what he wants you to have. He'll bring you one. Go after the German shepherd and you'll get ticks and fleas and bad breath. But we're going to go follow God. Amen. He's got a princess for you, brother. Amen. Just because my wife calls me King and Lord, brother, don't mean you're going to find one of those. We're going to have a repentance service here real quick. Preacher just lied. No. Y'all love the Lord?
Amen.
Yeah. Hope my batteries are charged.
I think I'm supposed to be singing tonight. And
all right, let's sing. I'll praise him. Amen.
We'll praise.
I love you all. Thank you for tuning in tonight.
I will praise.
Let the Lord lead you, direct you, and guide you. Be real with God. Amen. Let's be real with God.
We hope this message has enlightened and encouraged you. If you would like to receive other messages and teachings from Brother Rob, please feel free to contact us. Our web address is christiantempleonline.org. Or you may write us at Christian Temple, 3844 Mount Gilead Church Road, Sophie, North Carolina, 27350. We, the brothers and sisters of Christian Temple, would like to invite you to come worship with us. Our services are at 10 a.m. on Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday and Friday nights. We are located at 3842 Mount Gilead Church Road, Sophie, North Carolina, 27350. For directions, go to christiantempleonline.org/map. Thank you again for listening, and may God richly bless you.